episode of From Sunday to Sabbath. My name is Mike Scann. I'm the senior pastor of Epic Life Church in Terrell, Texas.
Woohoo.
So you hear that? Let's welcome Mr. Tyler Utcove.
Hi, everybody.
The co-host with the most of.
Most of.
Toastio. I like Toastio.
Remember Toastio?
I do. I remember Toastio.
Tastes like cardboard.
If you remember Toastio, please come in the section.
And if you know what we're talking about, just
give us a thumbs up or comment. Like, what a way to start, right?
Right.
So I've got a little cough.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't have coffee. Maybe. I wonder if I could, like, keep talking and, like, maybe you could, like, help a brother out.
Go get you some coffee?
Well, you don't have to go. I mean, the coffee thing's right there. But while that's happening, hey, if you haven't done so already, don't forget to subscribe to our channel. Like, give us a thumbs up. Leave a comment. Like, we love it when you guys are interacting. We had a lot of interaction last week. This video, last week's video, went off the hook. And I think we're going to do the same thing today. We're going to do part two as we are diving into a pretty important subject of the red heifer, the temple. And we're kind of looking at a guy, a video that's been put out. If you don't know who that is, you can go back to our first video. We'll mention it there. But the thing that I want to understand, and I talked to a couple of people already, some good brothers in Christ and friends of mine who have kind of said, hey, you know, we don't want to cause... Listen, this is not about this guy's character. I'm not trying to slam this guy's character. But what we want to do is address issues that we are hearing within this movement, because that's really what Sunday to Sabbath is all about. Listen, like, that's what had me come into Torah movement, is when I begin to really step away from my theology and look at what the Bible actually says. It happened when I was a Sunday preacher, and that hasn't changed. I'm still that guy. And although now we do believe in Yeshua as our Messiah, we believe in the Torah, we believe in Yahweh's feast days. Matter of fact, we got Pesach coming up, praise God, in just a couple of weeks. We're celebrating Passover here at our community. By the way, registration for that has already closed. But it's going to be exciting. And all of that happened because I believe in really two things. Number one is that it has to come from the Bible. It has to come from the Word, the canonized Scripture. And number two, it has to always lead us back to Christ. And if any time we get into theology or whatever your belief is, whatever you believe, listen, if it's not bringing you back to Christ, man, you need to double check it. And there are, you know, in the Sunday movement, there are things that are being done that don't lead to Christ. And that's the whole thing. So from Sunday to Sabbath is exactly how that happened, is that we knew there was something missing, and we kept searching the Scriptures. And the book of Matthew says that, right? It says, for those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they shall be filled. And that's what we want to challenge you. Man, seek after righteousness. But listen, righteousness doesn't come about anything that you can do. Anything. It comes about by Yeshua and Yeshua alone. He has made us righteous, and we are made righteous through him. And so with all that, he's still making coffee. It's a Keurig, man. It's a little slow. But we'll have him here in just a moment. Listen, man, we have been in a really, this has been a big discussion. And we took a look at this video, and we're going to continue to do that and look at some quotes from it and just unpack. Thank you, man. You are awesome. That's all right. Here, there is coffee. Look at there. Pastor. That's perfect. You just totally, like, you messed the camera up. Now they've seen you. No, you're fine.
Oh, okay.
The camera's fine. It's just now I'm gonna have to edit out that shoulder of yours that just came in. So we opened up a Pandora's box last week, right? I mean, like, we hit on some pretty important things, and we're gonna continue down that. This conversation cannot happen in just, you know, an hour.
Yeah,
like,
for sure.
This is something that many of you who are watching, I'm sure you've heard these conversations about the third temple, talking about this red heifer. And when you begin to watch teachers, and that's really where it's coming back, when you begin to watch teachers, it's imperative that, you know, Paul told Timothy something super important. He said, study to show yourself approved, a workman who needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that's really, if you wanted to put something, if you wanted to, like, that's what this is about.
Yeah.
It's about studying to show yourself approved. Mm-hmm. And studying the canon, you know, what a great segue, right?
Yeah.
So studying the canon of Scripture and all these other different things, because that's really where we're going to go today. We're going to talk a little bit about that. What are we doing?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. And it's the Scripture. The Scripture, right, that is supposed to be our authority. So, you know, like you said earlier, if it disagrees, it's like a puzzle piece. Like, we have to take all of the pieces, you know, and put it all together. And if you take out some of the absolute foundational pieces, like you were saying earlier, if it doesn't lead you to Messiah, then something's not right with it.
That's huge.
And so, like, this topic, while there is lip service given to, Yeshua's Messiah, we believe in him.
Yep,
like,
yep.
You know, he's our Messiah, he's our king or whatever. But it lessens what he did.
Yes.
It lessens his sacrifice.
That's right.
And it just kind of relegates it to, you know, just kind of like, he's just another guy.
I think you're onto something, because I think, and this may be where we end up going, you know, a lot of times we don't have a plan. We just kind of do what we feel like the Holy Spirit wants us to do.
Yeah.
But I think you're onto something there, that, and it really comes down to another question, is that there are two questions, really. A lot of people don't really understand salvation. We said this last week.
Mm-hmm.
We've actually said this last couple of weeks. And because they don't understand salvation, they don't understand their position in Messiah. Right.
Yeah.
And so, you know, we mentioned this, and this is where we're going to go into this deep, right? Is that we mentioned last week, is like, people are still trying to cover themselves.
Right.
Right. They're still trying to, it's almost like, they're trying to make a sacrifice because they believe the sacrifice somehow is going to purify them.
Yeah.
And regardless, if the person teaching is telling you, look, this has nothing to do with your salvation, that is a ploy.
Yeah,
because it has everything to do with your salvation.
Right.
And this is the thing that you have to understand. When you begin to try to make any type of, make yourself pure, make yourself clean, make yourself anything outside of Yeshua, this is the danger. Because on the front end, yes, you're right. On the front end, at the surface level, it really doesn't have anything to do with your salvation.
Yeah.
But that's not where this goes.
Yeah, where it leads you to. Where it leads you to is, like, it totally does. Like, so, like I was saying earlier, it lessens the absolute power of what he did as being the sacrifice. And it kind of reminds me of, like, Hebrews 10.
Yeah.
Right, where it's like, you trample underfoot the Son of God.
Yeah.
And you count the blood of the covenant by which you were sanctified a common thing, right?
Yes.
And that's what intentionally or unintentionally people do when they say, well, you know, Yeshua, he died for your sins, but you're going to need to be cleansed to go up to the temple whenever the temple's
built. Yeah, and that's the problem that I have seen within the Torah. And this kind of goes into another area, and then we're going to go into
the Torah community.
What we see in the community.
Yeah.
And that is, we come into Torah, and we almost, like, and I don't know how it happened, I don't know when it happened, but I have seen it time in and time again. Well, you know, they start wearing the tzitzit. Let me just say this. I wear tzitzit, okay? But Jesus dealt with this with the Pharisees. He said, man, you guys wear your tzitzit down to the ground so that everyone can see them.
Yeah.
And that's what happens in the Torah community. We begin to get into all this stuff, and we begin to exalt that stuff above our relationship with Messiah. And that's going to go really good with our conversation today, right?
Absolutely.
Because that's really what this is about. I mean, the whole idea and understanding of what this individual is teaching is absolutely, it can be poison. And it's because we're exalting things that don't need to be exalted. We're dealing with matters that don't need to be dealt with. Because they're matters, they're issues that you don't find within the Scriptures. And so we're looking at outside sources to bring in. And that's where the problem lies.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and then you look at these sources that that teaching, well, you need to do it this way, and you know, this is what, you know, like you need to do the temple sacrifices this way,
yeah,
and this is how you need to approach this, and it's like we're looking to an authority that, you know, really has been set to the side.
It has.
It's been set to the side because, number one,
we have a greater authority.
We have a greater authority. Number one, they really set aside the written, the Torah of Moses, and they elevate their own Torah.
Yeah.
And then, number two, they set aside the Son of Yahweh.
Yeah, that I was going to say, like, that, because isn't that interesting, is that these people and those that are out there that are following this teachings and these doctrines, they're following people, listen to me today, they're following people that don't believe in Mashiach. They don't believe in our, well, they believe in Mashiach, they just don't believe in Yeshua as our Mashiach.
Yeah, right.
They don't believe in him.
Yeah.
They don't even, most of them don't believe the New Testament, the Messiah that's in the New Testament is the Messiah we should be following. That just like the Orthodox Judaism, they believe that we're following a false Messiah.
Yeah. And, you know, not only do they just not believe in him, you know, some people are like, oh, I just don't believe in him. They are vitriolic, like, meaning, like, they spew, like, hate. And, like, for example, in the Talmud, it says that Yeshua is in hell boiling in excrement.
Yeah.
It literally says that.
Yeah.
Because he mocked the words of the sages. Yeah. That was his sin, as it says in the Talmud, that he mocked them.
And these are the manuals that these guys are using, the Talmud, the Mishnah. Yeah. They're using these, and
they're appealing to them, hey, see this right here? This is why we need to be.
Yeah. Like, if you don't, matter of fact, this guy said this, right? He said, if you don't know the Mishnah, if you're not studying the Mishnah, you're not going to know any of this. Well, of course not.
Yeah.
Because this isn't canon.
Yeah.
This is commentary. What people don't understand is the Mishnah is commentary from so many rabbis.
Yeah, and as you know, right before we started, I was looking at some of the Mishnah.
You were, right,
and
there.
It said that in regards to the red heifer, one rabbi says, well, if you get the red heifer from a Gentile, it's no good. But right after that, well, Rabbi so-and-so says it is good.
Yeah.
So it's like, and that's funny because, you know, a couple years ago, kind of like the whole thing about video is that they flew five red heifers from Texas.
Texas, baby.
Yeah. And,
But doesn't it also say
from the yeshiva?
Wait. Doesn't it also say, now, again, I'm not the, you know, despite my look, I am not a rabbi. But doesn't it also say that you're to watch, they're to watch the red heifer from a calf from birth all the way up to make sure that there's no black hair or anything other than, it's supposed to be watched. It's supposed to be observed from its birth. It's what the Mishnah says. Mm. From its birth, under the purity laws, and you're supposed to be watched all the way up until it's taken up to the temple. Yeah. And I don't believe that was done.
Yeah, I don't think so.
I don't think whatever ranch this came off of, right. came off of, I don't believe that cowboy was out there going, all right, guys, let's build a fire. We're going to be here for a while.
Yeah, he probably had no clue they were going to be knocking on his door like, hey, you got some red heifers?
No.
Yeah, but. So,
all right, let's dive in. Let's get into it, man. Where are we going?
You start at 3 minutes, 24 seconds. He says, now, if it sounds kind of like discombobulated, it's just because I'm literally reading. I've typed everything up as he said it, right? So it says, when God comes back to the earth, he tells us in Revelation, and his tabernacle or his dwelling place, well, guess what? The red heifer in the temple, the preparations of the temple, which is sacred space, Revelation 21 says death will be defeated, death will be no more. The only way the presence of God, because he established it in the Torah, death cannot have any connection with the holy. These are ritual matters. These have nothing to do with salvation, believing in Yeshua. This has nothing to do with your personal relationship as a Torah-believing person. It has all to do with Tumah, ritual purity and ritual impurity, and how to sanctify and purify the area for us to go to Jerusalem and present our offering to Jerusalem. How can you go up to the temple in Jerusalem if you are not ritually cleansed because you have touched something that has corpse impurity. End quote.
End quote. Let's dive into this.
Yeah. So,
like, this is heavy.
All right. So, what the first thing he says that it has all to do with tuma, which is the Hebrew word tamei, and it comes from it means impurity or like unclean.
Right.
So his whole deal is like, well, this has nothing to do with your relationship with Yeshua. It has to do with ritual impurity. And so, you know, some of the things that make you unclean are, you know, through birth, a woman's time, a menstruation, mm-hmm. bodily emissions, leprosy,
yeah.
sexual relations, and misdeeds and contact with death, right? Mm-hmm. That's what he's getting at, the contact yeah. with death. But the greatest uncleanness was idolatry.
Yeah.
Which is what defiled the land, right? Yeah. In the temple. And so I want to read Numbers 5.
Bring it. Come on.
So, yeah, Numbers 5, TOV. Let's see here. Starting in verse 1, it says, Yahweh spoke to Moshe, saying, command the sons of Israel to send out from the camp everyone with leprosy, or who has some kind of discharge, or any contaminated by a dead body, right? So that's kind of like what he's getting at. Mm-hmm. Whether male or female, you are to send them outside the camp so as not to defile the camp where I am dwelling among them.
Right.
This the sons of Israel did, sending them outside the camp, just as Yahweh spoke to Moses. Okay, so his deal is that, you know, why if you have ritual impurity and you are outside of the camp,
right?
Then how can you, if these things are, if you don't care about these things, mm-hmm. then you won't be able to go up to the temple.
That's right.
To injure.
Right. We were kind of joking yeah. about that either. Also, because it's like if we wanted to, when Yeshua returned, if we wanted to go to Jerusalem and be with Messiah, if he was in the quote unquote third temple, we wouldn't be able to go see him.
Yeah.
Because we haven't. We've got to make a sacrifice. Mm-hmm. That's basically what they're saying.
Yeah.
And this, listen, guys, we've talked about this time and time again, is you've got to go with the totality of Scripture. They're pulling Scripture out, right? Mm. They're pulling Scripture out and trying to eisegesis it and put yeah. it into their context. And what you're saying is, like here's why we're talking about this, is that he makes reference to in the East Gate, It's dead bodies.
Yeah, there's a graveyard.
There's a graveyard, right? Right that was there. Put there by the
Muslims
who yeah. put it there. And their whole idea of putting these bodies there was to prevent
right.
the Messiah from returning.
Yeah.
Which is absolutely mind-blowing to me mm-hmm. that the Muslims believe that, and so the Orthodox believers believe that. Mm. But there's several problems in that. Number one, scripturally, we know, and you mentioned this at the end, and we probably need to hone in on that, and I know you've got more scripture to share. But we talked about that wherever Yeshua sets his feet.
Yeah.
Right?
It's holy ground.
Yeah, that's holy ground. And we're going right. to talk about that more because we've got to address what he talked about Revelations, right?
Yeah.
And that's
yeah.
really where you're going at. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. Keep yeah, going. For sure. Yeah. Yeah, and it's like, so his deal is like, you're unclean. And he gave an example of, you know, 17 years ago or whatever when his dad died, like, and he went to the viewing, and went to the funeral, like, he, you know, he gave his respects to his dad, touched his dead body, and mm-hmm. said goodbye. Well, he's unclean, mm-hmm. right? So it's like he needs the ashes of the red heifer to...
My brain just went on overload, dude. Keep going.
So he needs the ashes of the red heifer to, you know, become clean again. Because, so, I mean, he can't go to Jerusalem and make an offering to the Father if he's unclean. So anyway, like, the whole thing about the unclean is, well, the other part of the unclean coin is the word for pure or clean, excuse me. So it's like, what is purification? Well, in Hebrew, the word is tahor. And so in the Greek, in the New Testament, the word is katharizo. And whenever you, like, study this word out in the New Testament, this word katharizo, like all the places where it says clean, pure, it's the same word that's used in the Septuagint, like all throughout the Torah, all throughout the prophets. It's the same exact word
right.
for in Hebrews, tahor, right? So this is having to do with purity and impurity, as he's saying. So it's like, so if I am unclean, then, you know, how do I be cleansed, right? And so I was just kind of thinking about this. Well, one of the questions I was kind of asking, or, you know, to myself, I guess, is, can I
do that a lot?
I do, yeah. Right. Yeah. Can I be considered ritually pure according to Tameh and Tahor, right? Unclean and clean, yet be unclean in the eyes of Yahweh. So again, can I be considered ritually pure according to, you know, Tameh Tahor?
Right.
Like, I'm ritually pure. I've been cleansed, you know, physically.
Yeah.
But yet I'm still unclean in Yahweh's eyes.
Yeah.
Right? And so that's something that we got to get into, because it seems that his focus is, like, strictly physical.
It really does.
Like
he's dealing with the flesh.
Yeah, he's strictly like, I can't go up to the temple because I've touched a dead body in my life.
Right.
So it's like he's not looking at it at all as far as spiritually.
Right.
And so I was just thinking, that's why I asked the question, can I be considered ritually clean? Can I be cleansed with the ashes of the red heifer, but yet still be unclean in the eyes of Yahweh?
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
And so, like, that's the whole premise. Yeah,
that is the whole point. And that's why I think there's so much emphasis on speakers that talk about this, because they're echoing the same thing. Like, you talk to anybody that believes in this temple stuff and they believe in the sacrificial system, they say the same thing. And you can tell they're all listening to the same University of YouTube. Right. Yeah, which is, oh, this has nothing to do with your salvation. You're absolutely out of your mind.
Yeah.
It has everything to do with your salvation, right? Mm-hmm. This is salvational, because you're looking at things through the eyes of the physical and not through the eyes of the spiritual. Now, I want to talk about dead body for a minute, because there's something interesting as I was talking. Now, we may have hit this last week. I don't think that we did. But when we look at Acts chapter 20,
okay,
verses 9 through 12,
okay,
what happened? You know where I'm going? Actually, you know what happened? Come on.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. Oh, man. Okay. So 19, he went back. He went up to Ephesus. Then he had to go back to Jerusalem. And 21 is when he went. 20 is so. I'm drawing a blank.
What is when Paul laid on a dead girl?
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. And Peter did the same thing. And
Peter did the same thing.
Yeah. He took up Dorcas by the hand and said, get up. You know?
Yeah.
That's a great point.
And neither one of them went to the temple.
Right. They weren't like, it was never.
And it's Rabbi Paul. He didn't go, just like you mentioned last week, you talked about Yeshua doing this very same thing about the rabbis, right?
Yeah.
Paul walks in and he lays on her. Now, we know that they're saying, well, she's asleep. And I know people may debate on that. But here's the deal. Being asleep meant that you were dead.
Yeah. Right.
Okay, because that's what's going to happen with us.
Yeah.
And this is the reference here, because all are going to be resurrected. Everybody. The dead in Christ and the worthy, the in Christ and the not in Christ, because we're going to face judgment, right? Mm-hmm. So we're all going to be awake and we're all going to face judgment. But I think that's amazing.
Yeah, sure.
So we're looking at Paul and we're looking at Peter. We know Yeshua did it. That they touch. This is evidence towards what we're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
That we've got to stop looking at things through the eyes of the flesh.
Of the physical, yeah.
Of the physical realm.
Yeah.
Like, we've got to deal with this stuff from the spiritual realm, and these people aren't doing that. And again, it's the whole, I need to cover myself.
Yeah. Is that the whole, that kind of goes with what, that whole phrase of, like, it's not according to the letter, but according to the spirit.
The spirit of the law, man.
So it's like, and that's kind of into what I'm, this question here. So can you be considered ritually pure according to the letter, right? But be unclean according to the spirit.
I totally agree with that. I totally agree with that. So let me jump into a couple of scriptures that we've been talking about, because this goes right in line with what you're saying.
Okay.
Number one, let's go to 1 John 1:9.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. 1 John 1:9 says what?
If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to purify.
Okay, so this word, guys, if you're not familiar with this word purify in the New Testament out of the Greek, it is the word kathizio. All right, kathizio means to purify.
Mm-hmm.
But now we know it means, but here's the bigger definition. This is so powerful. You can't make this stuff up, as my pastor would say, right? And that is what? It means to make ceremoniously clean. If we walk in obedience to Messiah and we're following Messiah, we're following the Torah, and we're living the life that we're called to live, listen, you are made ceremoniously clean.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that definition, I need to pull it up in my Logos because there's an interesting part about that definition.
About that, pure?
About pure. And it was literally talking about even making, like if you're diseased, right? You're made clean through disease. It's to heal.
Right, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So the Bible says that Yeshua came to set the captives free.
Right.
He came to heal the brokenhearted. Heart,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
To set free the captive, right? Yeah. So this is not just about, my goodness, man.
Yeah.
Like people, you need to wake up and read the Bible.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not just about the flesh. Right? I mean, that's what you're getting at, right?
That's exactly right.
Yeah, so it's funny you mentioned that. I was reading that earlier before I came here about Isaiah 61. And, man, that could be a whole nother
deal. Dude, whole, yeah.
Because, man, that language, it's totally like, it comes from, obviously, the Bible, but, like, the words that are used, what Messiah is doing, what the Anointed One is doing,
right?
It's totally breaking yokes and doing everything that the physical sacrifices could not do.
That's right.
You know?
Yeah. So with that in mind, let me jump over to another verse. Since we're talking about 1 John 1:9, we're talking about death, we're talking about purity, we're talking about how we're made pure, we go to Titus 2:14.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
Yeah.
It says, verse 14, what's it say?
It says, redeeming us, he said, let me get to it, but yeah, he's talking about,
I've got it right here if you want me to read it. It says, he gave himself for us so that he might redeem us from every lawless deed.
Yeah.
And so that, listen, there's two things that he's talking about here.
Mm-hmm.
So, to redeem us from every lawless deed and so that he might purify for himself a chosen people, zealous for good deeds.
And that word purify goes to tahor, which is what this guy is like, it's all about Tame and Tahor.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. It's exactly what we're talking about.
Yeah.
In Christ. Now, listen, church, we've talked about this time and time again, right? Is that you've got to go back to the Bible. You've got to go to Scripture. This gentleman that's teaching this stuff, he's teaching out of the Mishnah. He's teaching out of the Mishnah. He's teaching from this book right here. I've got it on computer, and I have it right here. All right. So he says, if you're not coming out of here, if you're not reading this, you don't understand, right? Well, we do read it. We do understand it, okay? And when you read it, you have five different opinions of a rabbi.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that we were talking about this morning before we came on to do the show is that's very important is that this book is rabbinic. Thank you. It is not Holy Spirit inspired.
Right.
It is a bunch of men. This is commentary, guys.
Yeah.
He's using commentary to establish doctrine.
These are the people that Yeshua was constantly getting into it with.
Exactly.
Like, that's what his whole deal was. Is like, he was constantly telling them, you bind burdens upon men, and you're not even willing to, you know.
And I want to say this, too, because I know that some of our listeners that are watching, if they're still here, if we haven't ran them off because they're angry at me, I understand that many of you have followed this teaching. I understand that many of you have followed the teaching of the Mishnah. You may have the whole library of the Talmud in your house or in your home or your office. I understand that. But what you need to understand is that that is not biblical doctrine. It's not canon. Why do I say that? Because as Tyler already just told us, these men do not even believe in the Messiah. And yet there are people out there that are using this as doctrine that you are to follow. That is what Messiah said. Do not be deceived.
Mm-hmm.
That men will come in behind them and teach doctrine, any doctrine that's taught against Messiah. Right. I don't care if they say, oh, this isn't about your salvation. It is about your salvation. Because what you're doing is now Hagar coming back in.
That's right.
Right? We're trying to follow Hagar and Ishmael instead of following
Sarah
and Isaac. Mm-hmm. This is what this is about.
Yeah.
This is so it's not as deep as many people think. But it is extremely, extremely deceptive.
Yeah. Yeah, it's deceptive because it's like, now that we're, you know, we acknowledge that the Torah is not done away with, and we try to live according to it, that we next we go into the thing of like, well, you know, the rabbis teach Torah, they teach the sacrifices and what needs to be done, then I need to listen to that. And it's right. Like, and man, we don't give, we need a revelation of what Yeshua's sacrifice has really done. You know, and we need to be brought back to that.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. And that's the whole idea. I mean, when we get when you start getting away from the things of Messiah, and you get into this stuff, like, guys, we have seen it. We have seen churches, man, whole churches get completely turned around and get deceived because they're following stuff like this. And they become, the next step from this, man, and I've said this to people, is circumcision. They're going to start bringing in circumcision next, right?
Yeah.
Because it's all about the physical, right, and not the spiritual.
Yeah.
What do you got?
Yeah, for sure. But let me see. Let me go back to that question. So, can I be considered ritually clean according to, you know, the laws of the Levitical priesthood or whatnot, but yet be unclean in God's eyes, right?
All right, what do we
got? So I got Jeremiah 2, 20 through 23, and it says this, "Indeed, long ago I broke your yoke and tore off your bonds, and you said, I will not serve. Instead, on every high hill and under every green tree, you sprawled out as a prostitute. Yet I have planted you as a choice vine from faithful seed. How then did you become to me a wandering wild vine?" Now listen to this verse right here. "Even though you wash with lye and use an abundance of soap,"
come on,
"the stain of your iniquity is before me." Right?
Yeah.
"How can you say I'm not defiled?" Because they'd be like, "I'm not defiled. I've washed.
Yeah.
You know, I followed Numbers
15. I followed.
You know? But yet Yahweh is looking at them, he's like, "Yeah, you use soap and you did that, but you know what? You're stained. Your iniquity is stained.
That's right.
You can't use the things of the flesh to remove the stain on your heart, right?
Yeah.
And so again, they were keeping the purity laws, but yet their hearts were wicked.
Yeah.
And so let me jump to chapter 7.
Come on.
Verse 1 through 11. It says, "The word that came to Jeremiah from Yahweh, saying, Stand in the gate of Yahweh's house and proclaim there this word, and say, Hear the word of Yahweh, all you of Judah, that come through these gates to worship Yahweh. Thus says Yahweh Sevaot, the God of Israel, Mend your ways and your deeds, and I will let you live in this place." Now listen to this verse. "Do not trust in deceptive words and say, The temple of Yahweh, the temple of Yahweh,
come on, dude.
The temple of Yahweh." Right? So it's like, they were like, "Man, it doesn't matter what I'm, man, we got the temple. Like, I can go get cleansed, and I can, you know." And it's like, wait a minute. Then verse 4, "Do not trust in," I'm sorry, I already read that. Verse 5, "But no, if you truly mend your ways and your deeds, if you are doing justice between a man and his neighbor, not oppressing the sojourner, orphan and widow, nor shedding innocent blood in this place, nor going after other gods to your own ruin, then I will let you dwell in this place to the land I gave your fathers," right? "But look, you are trusting in deceptive words that are empty. Will you steal, murder, and commit adultery, and offer incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you have not known? And then come and stand before me in this house that bears my name," in the temple, "saying, We're saved, so that you may keep doing all these abominations."
Right.
So, like, what they're doing is they're you hear that from a lot of people in church these days. Like, "Well, I'm saved. Like, I can, you know, it doesn't matter how I live. I'm under grace," right?
Yep.
And it's kind of somewhat similar.
It really
they were saying, like, "Well, I'm doing all these things, but yet I can go get cleansed."
Yeah, yeah. It's on the other end of it.
Yeah.
It's on the
Jewish end of it now.
Yeah, it's on the Jewish end of it. So that's the whole problem, is that, you know, listen, guys, the thing that we're trying to get the people to understand is that, listen, you are complete in Christ. Do you understand?
Yeah.
If you are following Yeshua and you're walking out obedience, listen, you're complete in him.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's what he's saying.
Yeah.
Like, your works, it tells us our works are as filthy rags to Yahweh.
Mm.
And what they're trying to do is separate. I think what's happening is they're trying to separate this, like, either I'm trying to word this correctly. They're trying to separate kind of the atonement, the sin,
from being physically from being clean and unclean.
Purified.
Yeah, yeah.
But what they fail to understand is you can't have one without the other.
Right. Yeah. Right. Like when you
you can't be made clean righteously and still be unclean where you have to make a sacrifice.
Right. Now let me go to I'm gonna skip this one verse and then go to let's go to Matthew 23:25-28 because I was gonna get to that in a minute, but that goes with what you were saying just now.
Oh, I see it. Yeah, come on.
Matthew 23:25. So this is Yeshua talking to the Pharisees, right?
Listen up, guys. Listen to this.
So he says, "Woe to you, Torah scholars and Pharisees." Mm-hmm. That's the Mishnah.
Yeah. That's the Talmud. Come on, man.
Right.
Yeah.
Hypocrites, you clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside they are full of greed and uncontrolled desire. So listen to this. So in other words, outside, like you're clean. You went through the mikvah. You did the baptism, right?
Yep, yep.
Oh, blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and the dish so that the outside.
That's so good. That's so good.
First you clean the inside and then the outside will be clean.
That's right.
Right?
That's right. Wait a minute. Did you not see that? Oh my gosh, that is so good. Like, I think it was on me the whole time.
Oh.
I'm in my Bible. That's why I was like, yeah. Okay, no, it's on me now. Cool. Yeah, dude, that's powerful.
Yeah.
Like, take this home, right? This is exactly what we're talking about. I want to jump in real quick before you go too much further in that, and I want to take us over to Hebrews chapter 9.
Okay.
We got to get into Hebrews. I mean, if you're going to deal with all this sacrificial system and all of this other stuff, you got to go here. Mm-hmm. So Hebrews chapter 9, open your Bibles, guys, if you're watching. Hebrews 9, 22-23, beginning in verse 22. Listen, and nearly everything is purified in the blood, according to the Torah.
Mm-hmm.
And apart from the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
So there's two issues. Again, we're seeing two issues. Number one, what does he say? Nearly everything is purified by the blood.
Yeah.
That's according to Torah.
Right.
Okay? And then he says, and apart from the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sin.
Right.
All right? Mm-hmm. Again, context.
Yeah.
Verse 23. Therefore, I love therefores. Now, if you didn't hear me teach at all, man, on Sabbath, I love therefore because therefores are connectors.
Yeah.
They're connectors to the verses above or what was said, whatever the
context. They're therefore the verse
that was there before. That's right. They're therefore for the verse that was there before. So verse 23, therefore, looking at verse 22, therefore it was necessary for the replicas of these heavenly things to be purified with these sacrifices. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these.
Right.
This goes exactly with what we're talking about. The things that happened back in the Tanakh, in the Torah, the sacrificial system that we have seen, whether it's the red heifer or however you want to paint this picture, those are a foreshadow of things that are happening now and being in Christ. This is what people are failing to understand.
Right.
And their eyes have been blinded by all of this, oh, I've got this Gnosticism, I've got this knowledge, and I've got to follow after this thing. And, you know, even he says it on the video, which is absolutely, well, you know, there are people out there who don't understand this, and so we're teaching things that are bad. And that's not the case at all.
Yeah.
We understand this.
Yeah.
And we understand it to the point of even this gentleman that in our community that kind of brought this stuff out, he even said, well, if we don't understand it, we shouldn't talk about it.
Right.
Right. And we talked about this last week that they want to remove, there are those that want to remove the book of Hebrews because Hebrews completely contradicts this doctrine.
Yeah.
And they don't like it. And so the best thing for them to do is, hey, let's get rid of it.
Yeah.
Because we don't understand it. No, the problem is you're not willing to come up to the truth. And the truth of the matter is this. You're following a doctrine that's what you said in Matthew 23.
Yeah.
That's of Torah scholars. It's the Pharisees. The
Pharisees, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. You're following doctrine that's leading people away from Yeshua. It's exactly what Paul said.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. Man, he's saying, I love that you brought this verse out because it says that the heavenly things are purified with better sacrifices.
Better.
Better. Man, I think the word better is in the book of Hebrews, what, seven times or eight times or something? It's a better sacrifice. Like, why would you want to go back to, like, you would want to go back to the shadow.
Right.
You leave the reality, which is Yeshua and what he's done.
Right.
And you go back to the shadow.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's like the good things of, he is the high priest of the good things, right?
Yeah.
Of the reality of what the Torah speaks of.
I think what we're going to have to do, and we'll probably do this next week, because really to attack this issue, we really haven't done it yet, and that it, we're going to have to, the first thing that you have to do when you're, one of the things that you're going to have to do when you're dealing with the red heifer, the Temple Mount, the sacrificial system. I've got a paper out that I haven't finished. I think you're reading it. I don't know if you're done with it. I've sent it out to a couple of people. You're going to have to debunk the third temple. Because everything that gentlemen like this teach, that we've encountered in our own ministry, it hinges on these topics. It hinges on the Levitical priesthood.
Mm-hmm.
It hinges on the third temple and the Temple Mount.
And sacrifices.
Sacrifices, right? Mm-hmm. And here's the thing. If you remove any one of those, the whole thing falls apart, right? So it all hinges basically on a third temple and the Levitical system.
Mm-hmm.
And those are probably the two easiest, in my opinion, biblically, that you can, well, no, really all three of them, I mean, are simply for someone that will open their Bibles and read their Bibles and get a better understanding of what's happening, for any of them that will do this and get rid of the Mishnah, right? Get rid of the Talmud, put those aside.
Yeah, the influence of the rabbis.
The influence of the rabbis, and just get the influence of the Holy Spirit, right? And the scriptures,
Yeshua,
right? Yeshua. You'll see very quickly that the Levitical system is done, and I mean the Levitical system. So let me insert something here, because I know what some people think. Well, doesn't the Bible say that the Levites will exist forever?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but not the system.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not the Aaronic system.
Yeah.
Okay. When we say the Levites, we're not talking about the people, the tribe of Levite. They will exist.
Yeah.
Right. We see that biblically.
Mm-hmm.
What we're talking about is the sacrificial system that the Levitical Levites were over.
Mm-hmm.
And there are scripture after scripture after scripture after scripture that we can go to and defend that case, right?
Yeah.
And show biblically
that's
done away with. And I think we do need to do that.
Yeah,
I think we need to do that along with the temple and showing what Messiah says about the temple. Because once you do that, I think the answer of what we're dealing with right now in this with this individual, with this teacher, it all goes away.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Because now it's going to force people to go back to the Bible and read scripture, whether in the Tanakh or going into the Brit Hadashah, the New Testament, right? So once you do that...
Yeah, that's true.
Here's the thing. Take the Mishnah out, and this is the challenge that I want to challenge for our viewers. Remove the Talmud, remove the Mishnah, and then take your defense from Scripture. What do you think would happen?
Yeah, I mean, especially the New Covenant, right? The Book of Hebrews.
My ears are sweating.
Yeah, especially the Book of Hebrews, to kind of piggyback a little bit on what you're saying about the Levitical priesthood, that system. This isn't in my notes right here, but he has said that there's nothing in scripture that says that you're a part of the Melchizedek priesthood. He's like, Yeshua is the high priest of the Melchizedek, but you're not. You can't be. You're not a Kohen. You know, you're not.
Yeah,
you're not any of that. But I was reading in Revelations 5, I believe it is. Okay, so in Revelations 5.
Okay.
I'm going to start in verse 8. And when he had taken the scroll, talking about the Lamb, the Lion of Judah, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the Kedoshim, the holy ones. And they are singing a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals,
right,
for you were slain." Okay, listen to this. "By your blood you redeemed for God those from every tribe and tongue and people and nation." And now, verse 10, "You have made them for our God a kingdom and Kohanim," priests, "and they shall reign upon the earth." Okay, hang on. So, first of all, he is taking people from every tribe,
yep,
every language and nation on the
every
earth.
Every nation.
He has cleansed them and made them priests, Kohen. Now, you could take this word back to Hebrew, and it is a Kohen.
Yeah.
Right? Because the guy is like, well, you're not in the Melchizedek priesthood. If you're not a son of Aaron, you're not a priest.
Right.
He says right here, "By your blood you have made us priest and a kingdom," right? What is Melchizedek? He is a priest and he is a king. Right?
Yeah.
And so he says, "You have made them priests and they shall reign." Mm. They shall reign as kings. So we'll be priests, but yet we'll be kings. In Torah, there was nothing like that.
Nope.
You had to be a son of Aaron to be a priest.
That's exactly
and
right.
And you could not be a king either.
That's right.
So, like what Yeshua did, he as Melchizedek,
yeah,
the king, the priest king,
yeah,
by his blood, if you've been cleansed by his blood, he has made you in the order of Melchizedek.
That's exactly
a priest,
I was gonna say,
and
like,
a king.
That's what I was going, right, to say, because obviously every tribe, every nation is not talking
not
about
a son of Aaron.
Not,
yeah,
a son of Aaron.
Right. He did something different. Like,
he did.
And
here's the thing that I think people misunderstand is that they hold on to, and I get what they're coming from, right? Because they're trying to defend Matthew 5:17-23,
mm-hmm,
where they're, yeah, saying Yeshua's, mm-hmm, not going to come and do away.
Right.
He didn't do away with anything.
Yeah.
He changed it.
Right.
The big difference.
Yeah.
He didn't do away with anything. What he did was change everything. And he made it. And we know that the things of the Tanakh are shadows. The things of the Torah, they're the shadow of the things that are coming.
Mm-hmm.
And so for him to say that we're not priests, well, we just debunked that easily, mm-hmm, right, within your text. And so going into, I mean, if we're going to go into it, let's talk about it. I mean, well,
and it's, it,
oh, go ahead.
Well, when
I want to say something, but I don't know that.
Well, when you Matthew 5:17, like he fulfills, like he literally, what the things were shadows of, he fills it, he fills it full.
Big difference, yeah.
Right, of life. And like the reality
one
of it all.
One definition I've heard, you know? And I haven't been able to find that definition from this particular person, but he said that it brings it, like to bring it to the full, full expression.
Mm-hmm.
It brings it to the full expression. That's what he means,
yeah,
when he says that. And I can see that within the text. And that's what he's doing. He's bringing to the full expression. So everything that we see within the Levitical system, the Book of Numbers, all that,
mm-hmm,
what we see now in Yeshua is the bigger expression of it.
Right,
we,
yeah,
see really what all of that was pointing to,
right,
and it was pointing to Messiah.
Yeah, and he makes it a reality within you. That's what he's fulfilling.
Yes,
and like,
yes,
okay, so let me get back to this like thing right here. Kind of took a little rabbit trail. That's
a
okay
little,
though.
That's okay. All right. We do that.
This is such a humongous topic that leads you down these different like trails, right?
Right.
But anyway, so the question was, so he said, remember at the beginning, he said, it's all about tahor and tameh.
That's right.
Clean and unclean. And the fact that if you are ritually unclean, you can't go to the temple, right?
Right.
And so I asked the question, can you be considered ritually pure, tahor, but yet unclean in God's eyes?
Right.
Right? And so let's go to Haggai. And I read some verses out of Jeremiah who, you know, Yahweh says, look, you've washed yourself with a ton of soap, but yet your iniquity is stained. You're like, you're still stained with your iniquity. So they were ritually clean, but yet they were unclean in Yahweh's eyes. So I want to read Haggai 2.
Verse 10.
Yes. Haggai 2.
Verse 10.
Verse 10, yeah. So on the 24th day of the ninth month, this is Haggai 2, verse 10. On the 24th day of the ninth month in the second year of Darius, the word of Yahweh came to Haggai the prophet. Thus says Yahweh of hosts, ask now the priests for a ruling. So he's talking to the priests right here, right?
Mm-hmm.
If a person carries consecrated meat in the corner of his garment, and with his corner he touches bread, stew, wine, oil, or any food, will it become holy? And then the priest answered and said, no. So Haggai said, if one who is unclean by contact with a corpse, that's what this guy's whole premise is, like this is his whole deal, touches any one of these, does it become unclean? And the priest answered and said, yes, it becomes unclean. So if you're unclean through being defiled by a dead body and you touch something that's holy, does it become unclean? Yes, it does. Then Haggai answered and said, so is this people, and so is this nation before me, and so is every work of their hands, and what they are offering is unclean. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So he said, Yahweh is saying that as someone who is defiled by a corpse, everything they touch is unclean. This people is like that in my eyes. But yet they're offering sacrifices in the temple.
Right.
But they're unclean in Yahweh's eyes, right? And then in verse 15 it says, but now set your heart back from this day onward, right? So anyway, he goes on and he's like,
you're really good,
you're bro. Unclean. Even though I'm talking to the priests,
right?
You know, like they know the ritual purity laws, but Yahweh is likening them to someone who is unclean.
That's right.
Through death,
mm-hmm.
even though they are ritually clean,
yep.
and offering
yeah.
a sacrifice.
That's the comparison that people need to understand.
Yeah.
This is not about your skin.
Yeah, it's not.
This is about your
heart.
It's
about the heart. And it's always been about the heart. Like from day one.
And that's why we keep telling you it has to come back to Yeshua. Right? What did Yeshua do? When people are believing that they go to a temple, and we're going to deal with that in later subjects, because I know many of you are like, what do you guys believe about this? When you move away and you take it away from Yeshua, I don't care what it is. I don't care if it's wearing tzitzit, you think you're made righteous. I don't care if it's because you wear a tallit or that you wash your hands ceremonially in the sink, right? And there are guys, I'll bet this individual probably believes that, that you have to wash your hands like that because that's what the Bible said. That's what the law
taught. Put your shoes on the right foot.
That's right. Make sure, and you got to do it the right way. Yeah. I did read that. So the thing is, it has to come back to Yeshua. Mm-hmm. And the question is, and we're going to wrap it up here, because I don't think we're gonna get through all of it. We just can't.
No,
I think we've proved a couple of matters today, right? we proved number one that, like, just because you're ceremonially clean does not mean you're clean in the heart,
right? Excuse me.
Right. And we proved, I think, biblically, that when Yeshua purified us, He purified us. He made us ceremonially clean,
right?
Do you understand that?
Yeah.
We are ceremonially clean in Christ.
Yeah.
We looked at the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter, and we looked at both of these men had touched a dead body, right? And we don't see them going into the temple, making sacrificial system. Now, we don't. I understand that somebody say, well, that doesn't really prove it because it doesn't say they did or they didn't. The point is, I think that would have been a big deal.
Right, for sure. Right?
Especially for a rabbi.
Absolutely. Right? They were following in the footsteps of, you know, their rabbi who brought life to the dead.
That's right.
And didn't receive uncleanness.
That's right.
What you're just saying, I want to go back over Matthew 23 and just kind of like hit on that for a second.
All right, for a second.
So Yeshua said, woe to you, in verse 25, Matthew 23, 25. Woe to you, Torah scholars and Pharisees, hypocrites. You clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you are full of greed and uncontrolled desire. So you got the tzitzits. You go through the mikvah, the baptism. I'm sure that, you know, you go to the priest and, like, you do what you're supposed to do all on the outside.
Right.
But inside, you're full of greed. You're full of lawlessness. Oh, blind Pharisee.
This is good. Come on.
First.
Yep.
Clean the inside of the cup so that the outside will be clean.
Right.
And then look.
Verse 27.
Yeah. Woe to you, Torah scholars and Pharisees, hypocrites. You are like whitewashed tombs. Your grave, which look beautiful on the outside, but inside you are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, you appear righteous to men on the outside. You got the head covering. You got the seats, man. Yeah. You got the Torah scroll.
You're making your sacrifice.
You are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness, right?
Yeah.
And look, he is saying that they've come into contact with death. You're like a tomb. You're a grave. You're like a grave that you appear beautiful because they had to beautify the tomb so nobody would touch them. But inside you're full of dead men's bones. Inside you are full of the corpse impurity, right? That this guy is saying that you have to be removed. But he's only looking at it from the outside of the cup not the inside of it, right?
Yeah, and it's interesting because that he goes on to talk about, like, I'm going to send you some prophets. I'm going to send you some real Torah scholars, and you're going to kill them.
Yeah.
Because they go against their teaching,
right?
They go against what you believe, you know, because what did they preach? Go to the temple, cleanse yourself, make yourself look. And Yeshua's showing them, like, and what's interesting, guess what goes in next? What do they talk about next? What do they talk about next right after this? Right after he rebukes the scholars, where does he go next? Tear down this temple. He goes into the temple, and he says, tear down this temple, in 3 days I'll rebuild it.
Oh, yeah, and then...
I mean, that's powerful, dude.
Yeah, and then he goes and says... Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. Wait, in verse 35, he says, so upon you will come all the righteous blood shed on the earth.
Come on.
You know, and then he says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kills the prophets.
Yep.
How often I long to gather your children together. Behold, your house is left to you desolate. Your house. What is he saying? Your temple.
He's talking about the temple.
Jerusalem, your house, your temple will be desolate, right?
Yeah.
You're going to be destroyed.
Yeah.
Because look what you're doing.
Yeah.
Oh, but you're offering sacrifices, though. You got a functioning Levitical priesthood.
Yeah.
But I am going to destroy you, like Matt parable of the vineyard, you know, type stuff.
Yeah. You're absolutely right on. I mean, guys, just stick with us. We keep going into this, man. I mean, this isn't hard to understand. This is biblical truth. This is coming from Scripture. We're reading Scripture to show you what it really says. And I want you to go, you know, study for yourself, right? Get out of the Mishnah, get out of the Talmud, as we said earlier, and open your Bibles, all right? And be alert, man. I mean, the devil is slick, and he's slick with these words. We need to wrap this up. So I want to say this, man. If you haven't subscribed, subscribe to us today. Send us an email, right, at mike@epiclifetarot.com or at tyler@epiclife.com. Tyler has a lot more. He's just busting at the seam. He wants to keep going, but we need to get this wrapped up so we can edit it and get it out to you. Final thoughts.
Yeah, let me just say one thing real quick. So what I was getting at is that he says this has nothing to do with your salvation. It all has to do with ritual impurity.
Right.
And so what I was bringing was, the first question is that can you be ritually clean but yet be unclean in Yahweh's eyes? And so I brought the verses saying, like, yes, you can be out clean on the outside,
right,
but you are absolutely wicked
on the
right on the inside. Yeah. And the point is we gotta flip it and look at the next part we would look at maybe next week and see what happens, but is, can you be ritually unclean, but yet pure in the eyes of Yahweh and able to approach
Him?
Right? So, yeah.
Absolutely. Maybe that's why we're getting a new body.
Yeah.
You ever think about that?
Yeah.
You ever think about that? Why are we getting a
body?
We're getting a glorified body.
Mm-hmm.
This body's nothing. I mean, the body that we're dwelling in right now is just earthly body.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There's a body coming after judgment. We're going to get a new body.
Right.
It will be pure. It will be clean.
Yeah, and will it be wrapped in light like Adam used to be? And if it is, it's like, how are you going to need the ashes of red?
Right.
Anyway,
it keeps. Yeah. We can go on and on about this, right? So next week we'll hit this. We'll continue with this subject. We're also going to talk about the temple. I think we really need to let's bring that out on why and what we believe about the actual third temple.
Yeah.
And I think that will help in this conversation that we're talking about with this individual. Again, guys, we love you. God bless you. We're going to wrap it up today. Thank you for joining us for another episode of Sunday Sabbath. Thank you for joining us for another Sunday to Sabbath. Praise God. I keep forgetting there's a little button I got to keep clicking, man.
Yeah.
Maybe one day we'll be wealthy enough and we'll be able to bring in a producer and right. he can do all that for us.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
We won't have to do that. Yeah. But, man, this is a tough subject. Let us know what you think. Leave a comment for us. And remember, guys, get into the Bible. Put this other stuff. Listen, I do believe about, when you go to these extracurricular books. Mm-hmm. If it supports scripture, absolutely, yeah. right? And there is some good stuff that you can find, but we cannot use it to create doctrine. Mm-hmm. I think that's the danger.
Yeah.
And I think that people want to be so Jewish.
Yeah.
And it's really, instead of just being who Yahweh's called you to be, and remember that you've been grafted into the vine.
Yeah.
We are grafted right. in. We are not called to become them,
yeah,
right. We're called to become like Yeshua, like
that's
Jesus.
Right. That's right,
and that's what the Scripture teaches us, right? Mm-hmm. It tells us that. So, anyways,
yeah,
praise the Lord, man. God bless you. We love you. Thank you again, and we'll see you next week.
All right, see y'all later. See y'all later.
That's awesome, man. Yeah. Peace out, man.
Bye.